today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, this is Pastor Calvin Corbett welcoming you to the broadcast called Hope for Your Heart. I'm so glad that you're joining us today. We are going through a series on the book of 1 Peter, and I have thoroughly enjoyed teaching through this book, and 1 Peter is a powerful, powerful book. And to kind of just bring you up to speed as to what this book is all about, we learned a couple weeks ago that when Peter is writing, he is writing to those who are followers of Christ who have been separated because of persecution. As we get into chapter 1 and chapter 2, we learned about how they could respond to that persecution. We are now into chapter number 3, and this is where it gets extremely, extremely practical as we look at what he's trying to teach us in chapter number 3. But before we dive into the text, I wanted to share a fun little story. Attending a wedding for the very first time, a little girl whispered to her mom, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" "Because white is the color of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." The child thought about this for just a moment, then said, "So why is the groom wearing black?" You know, black we wear at funerals, usually one of the worst days of our lives. We're going to talk today about husbands and wives' duties, and we're calling this series Game Changer. And I want you to know that as we get into 1 Peter chapter 3, some of this may rub you the wrong way, okay? And I like what the old preacher said. He says, if the cat doesn't like the way he's being rubbed, he should turn around. And as you think about what Peter is trying to teach us, he's not trying to be an ogre when it comes to this matter of marriage and the responsibility of husbands and wives. He is trying to teach us what God knows is best for us. And so let's begin in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. "Wives," he says, "in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands." Now, he begins by reminding us what happened in chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 is driving home the point that all of us should be submissive to Christ. And now he gets into chapter number 3. He says, "Now, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word," in other words, if you have a husband that doesn't know Christ and doesn't believe in the word of God, "they may be won over." How are they going to be won over? "By the words and the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives." So Peter is reminding us here that we look at our marriage, and even in our marriage, we are to be gospel-centered. In other words, God is even using our marriage to bring the gospel to our family and to our spouse. So Peter reminds the ladies, verse number 3, that their beauty should not come from an outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather it should be of your inner self, that unfading glory. So what is Peter saying? He's saying the primary source of your beauty is not the external, it's the internal. Now, he's not totally eradicating the external. I like what old J. Vernon McGee used to say. He would say, if the old barn needs some paint, well, by all means, put some paint on the old barn. So there's nothing wrong with makeup. There's nothing wrong with adoring yourself. But Peter tells us that the primary source of our beauty is not external. You know, think about the external. One of the reasons I'm on radio and not on television is because I'm not that good looking, right? And as you look at me, you say, man, that guy ain't the best looking guy in the world. And so at radio, you don't get to see me, okay? But as you think about beauty, our beauty should come from within. Peter continues on, verse number 5, "This way, this is how the holy women of the past, that's how they put their hope in God, and that's how they would adore themselves. They would adore themselves with that inward beauty. They submitted themselves to their own husbands." Now, this next verse is going to kind of rock your world a little bit, and I don't recommend this to you guys doing this, okay? "But Sarah, in the Old Testament, obeyed Adam and called him her Lord." Now, I can imagine that's not going to go very well with my wife if I said, okay, honey, Sarah called Abraham Lord. I think you ought to call me Lord, okay? If you look at the context of this, Peter is not suggesting this, but Peter is driving home the attitude behind this of the respect that Sarah had for Abraham. Husbands, verse number 7. Now we transition, and husbands in the same way are to be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So here we look at this passage and we see there's a transition, and Peter now is talking about the husbands, and he says that we're to be very considerate to our wives, and he uses that phrase as weaker vessels. Now that's not an insult. Please don't take what Peter is saying wrongly. He is not diminishing women. He is looking at them as weaker vessels, and we lose a little bit in that terminology. Really, the word should be fragile. And you think about something that is very valuable. If you have an extremely valuable vase, for example, you're not going to throw that in the garage and throw a bunch of stuff on top of it. You're going to protect that vase because of the value of that vase. It is easily to break, but that doesn't mean it's not valuable. You protect it because it is fragile. And that's how our wives are. We are to protect them. That's why if my car breaks down, I don't want my wife taking my vehicle to a mechanic that I don't know. I'm fearful they might take advantage of her and tell her, you know, the car needs a whole bunch of things done to it that doesn't really need to be done to it. They may take advantage of her. And I said, no, you're not going to take advantage of my wife. And so I will protect her, right? We're called to protect our wives. We're called to protect her because she is heirs with us into this gracious gift of life. And we're also told to do that because if we don't, listen, guys, if we don't protect our wives, it actually hinders our prayers. It stops our prayers from being answered. Verse number 8, he says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, and love one another. Be compassionate and be humble. Do not repay evil with evil. Do not repay insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to do this, you are called to do it, and by doing this, you actually inherit a blessing. So here is some of the hard teaching, but most valuable teaching when it comes to marital relationships. Submission is the key to unity and harmony in human relationships. And so Peter uses the illustration of the Godhead. You know, in the church and in a marriage and in any relationship, submissiveness is the basis of unity. When we look at this part of speech that is being used here, it is not talking about value, but is rather talking about place or rank or order. We understand this in living in a military community. We understand rank and order. We understand that a general is no more valuable than a private, but because of his position, because of his rank, he is given that authority and we are subjected to him. It doesn't mean that he can abuse that position. It doesn't mean that he's above the law because of that position, but we respect him because of the position that he is in. We subject ourselves to him because he is in a higher rank than we are. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. In Philippians chapter 2, we see that we have encouragement from Christ, and we have this love that comes from the fellowship in Christ. And it says, do nothing out of selfish or vain conceit, but consider others as more important than yourself. So when we look at this matter of submitting ourselves to somebody, I don't think we'll ever be over something great until we're willing to be under something. Great leaders are great followers. When you think about putting yourself under somebody, you're saying to them, you know what? I'm just a little bit lower than you. And that is not a derogatory view. That is recognizing the importance of other people. I often tell people the way they spell joy is J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Now, this doesn't mean we become a doormat and let people walk all over us and that we lose all self-respect. But it realizes that we respect other people, realizing that God has placed them in that position. Here's the second thing that we learn from Peter's teaching is that Satan's fall and his ongoing rebellion is a manifestation of his refusal to submit to God. he likewise tempts men to follow in his footsteps. Now, this teaching seems hard, and I'm the first to admit this is not easy, but when we look at the issue of rebellion, why did Satan fall? He fell because he wanted to be like the Most High God. He was jealous of the position that God had. When you look at Lucifer, the son of the morning star, how he was created as one of the top three angels that God created. He was beautiful. He was radiant, but he was jealous of the position that God had. He didn't want to be under God. We discover that he despised authority. When we go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, we see that submission is one of those things that is difficult because we despise authority. We hate having somebody tell us what to do because our nature, our human nature, is that it's filled with rebellion. Well, here's the third thing that we learn about submission, and that is submission is at the core of man's relationship with God. The way that we show God that we love him is that we submit to him. How is that proven? It is proven by how we submit to others in human relationships. When you think about how sin entered into humanity in the Garden of Eden, man was to be subject to God. He was to trust him, trust his word, keep his commandments. Adam and Eve's sin was a revolt against God. They refused to submit to him. Jesus represents the sin of all of Israel. All of the world's sins was put on Christ on that cross. He put to death that rebel spirit that causes sin in all of us. When you think about the whole issue of submission, it is also the heart of discipleship. You cannot be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, unless you are willing to submit to him. You know, worldly submission versus biblical submission really are kind of opposed to one another. Worldly submission is limited as man can make it. I'm going to be as least amount of submissive as I possibly can. Biblical submission is really as broad as mankind. Worldly submission is really compulsory. We are forced to be under that submission. I remember my kids were growing up. My son, one of my children, told me one day, he said, "Dad, I don't like the rules around this house." I said, "You don't like the rules around the house?" I says, "Well, you can go ahead and move on out and find your own place, and then you make your own rules." He said, "No, Dad, I'm going to do a better thing than that. I'm going to move out of here, and I'm going to join the military." I started chuckling under my breath. Here's a kid that doesn't like rules, and he wants to go join the military. And Uncle Sam is going to tell him what to do. And I told him, I said, "Well, you think my rules are bad? You wait till Uncle Sam owns you. He's going to tell you what time you can get up. He's going to tell you what time you can go to bed." I said, "He's going to teach you discipline." Well, he didn't end up going into the military. He came to his senses, and he found out that it wasn't so bad living at home, and he decided to kind of get under that whole issue of submission. Worldly submission is given to those in authority who expect, they demand it, and they act in a way that benefits them. Well, biblical submission, on the other hand, is given to him who gives up his rights and his privileges in order to be a blessing to others. And so you think about this whole matter of submission. The Bible talks about the major test that we will deal with, and that comes from our issues of submission. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is a great passage of scripture, echoing what Peter is trying to teach us. He says in this major text that we're dealing with submission, Christ is the model, and Christ was submissive to his Father in heaven. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it says the husband and the wife's relationship is patterned after the relationship of Christ. And so we learn from Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands, as they're leading their wives, they're leading them as they're submissive to Christ. And Christ never asked us to do anything unusual or unreasonable. Christ put himself beneath us, but then he asks us to be obedient to him. You know, we think about worldly submission, and it's mainly a matter of authority. Biblical submission, on the other hand, is really more a matter of priority, putting the interest of others ahead of our own. Secular submission is granted, albeit reluctantly, only to those who have the authority over us. Biblical submission is granted to our peers and to those who are under the authority of us because submission is not simply a matter of authority, but of priority. We're saying, "I'm putting somebody else first." when you think about worldly submission makes us to seek and to minimize our dependence on others, where biblical submission makes us interdependent upon one another. We recognize and we depend on others as we surrender our independence to them. Worldly submission is kind of legalistic. It has this outward compliance to it, following the letter of the law when it's being observed. Biblical submission, however, is an inward agreement with the spirit of the law. To illustrate this, let's assume one of my children is not submissive. He wants to do what he wants to do. He wants to play with who he wants to play with and doesn't want to have no as an answer. Well, I find a child that is living next door, and I begin to punish that child for the disobedience. You would say, wait a minute, you can't punish somebody else's child because they're not under your authority. When you think about this whole matter of submission, we are to submit to the people that are under our authority. That's why Peter says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. My wife is not submissive to another husband. She is submissive to me because she is my wife. As you look at where our culture lies, I want to share just a couple of biblical duties in the few minutes that we have left on our broadcast today. And I want to share just a few things of the different understandings of biblical roles in submission. For the wife, very clear, submit to their own husbands with purity and respect. Why is this so difficult? It is so difficult because when we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16, the woman said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. Now, this is the consequence of falling into sin. Adam and Eve fell into sin. And so God says to the woman, because of this, your pains in childbearing will be very severe. You will be filled with painful labor as you give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, this is another one of those tough scriptures that we look at. And as we look at this, we discover that Eve was deceived. When she fell into sin, she was deceived by the serpent. Adam, on the other hand, was not deceived. The Bible is very clear that Adam was disobedient. He went into direct disobedience. And so in a way, I think Adam is more culpable than Eve. Eve fell into deception. Adam knew he was doing the wrong thing. And so because of that, God says, Eve, now your desires are going to be to your husband. Why? Because God knows that women can sometimes be deceived. And please don't take this as an insult. My wife is filled with discernment, but there's occasionally times in our lives where she doesn't see something. And as her husband, I love her and I protect her because I don't want her to be caught up in that deception. When you think about the whole concept of submission, submission is understanding that I'm going to recognize somebody else's authority. In the case of marriage, I'm going to recognize my husband's authority. Now, if you're listening to this broadcast and your marriage is all falling apart, some of what I'm teaching you is going to have to be instilled in your marriage incrementally. If you're a husband and you haven't been the leader that you should be in your home, the worst thing you can do is go home today and say, I listened to the radio broadcast and Pastor Corbett told me that you're to be submissive to me and I'm going to demand that you respect me and you're going to be under my authority. I tell you what, that will not work. That will be actually an abuse of your authority. You haven't earned that right for her to be submissive to you. When you look at being submissive, it doesn't mean letting your husband do all the thinking in the family. It doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with everything that my husband says. It doesn't mean that I'm going to put my husband's will above God's will. When you think about this whole matter of submission, it's not acting out of fear. It's really acting out of love. I hope and pray that my wife is submissive to me, not because she's fearful, but because she knows that I love her more than I love myself. I want you men who are listening to this broadcast to know, if you will treat your wife like a queen every time, all the time, and you will love her unconditionally, and that you will show a consistency in the spiritual leadership of your home, I promise you, with time, your wife will willingly follow you. She will be more than happy to submit to your authority because she knows that you are the apple of her eye, and she knows that you love her unconditionally. When you think about submission, it is a stronger inward character than an outward beauty. It's something that is within us. As we engage with the Spirit of God, as we submit to the Spirit of God, it brings about change in our lives. When you look at spiritual submission, we should be known as people who are gentle and quiet in spirit. I'm not talking about being a spiritual doormat. I'm talking about having that quiet, gentle spirit. What is the purpose of this? The purpose of submission is that it blesses and it maintains and mentors future generations. When your children see a healthy husband and wife relationship, you are passing on to them a treasure. As they learn how to treat their spouses, as they learn the whole concept of unconditional love, as they understand the gentle and strong spirit of a husband. We have some strong commands given to the husbands in Ephesians chapter 5. Husband is to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior to his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, you should also submit to your own husbands in everything. For husbands, this means that you love your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave his life for her, to make her holy and to make her clean, washed by the cleansing of the blood. When you think about headship, the husband is called the head. That means that we lead by example. A husband who is appropriately acting as the head of his home leads by example, and he exhibits humility. He focuses on building up others in the family. He demonstrates trust toward his family. He cultivates intimacy with his wife. He affirms his wife's strengths. He provides protection and safety for his wife. He will delegate responsibilities while retaining the final authority. He will take responsibility for the education and the discipline of his children. Headship is not dictating orders without consulting your wife. It is not seeking to control your wife's actions. It is not this need to win every disagreement. It's not saying, I'm going to criticize my wife for her weaknesses. Oh, don't criticize your wife for her weaknesses. She knows her weaknesses even better than you do as a husband. Headship is not using threats or intimidation or coercion or tactics or manipulation. When you think about headship, it is not advancing your own interest. It is not abusing your family physically or mentally or emotionally or psychologically. That is not headship. That is dictatorship. We are not called to be dictators within our homes. We're to be called leaders within our homes. When you think about how can we do this, man, here's what I want to encourage you today with. Consider it to your wives. Be considerate to your wife. 1 Timothy 5 tells us that if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those in his own household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. When Paul talks about a husband providing for his own, especially those in his own household, what is he telling us to do? That we're to provide for all of the needs within our household, not just the financial stability of our home, but we ought to create a place of peace within our home. We ought to be able to create an environment of stability within our home. We are to be able to be respectful, understanding that our wives are the weaker vessel. We're also to be gracious to our wives as she is equal heir of our lives. This reveals the true gospel of grace to our children. It also creates this culture for future generations. This leadership should not be dictatorial, not condescending, not patronizing of our wives, but should be in accordance with the example that Christ gave as he is leading the church. And he says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water of the word. So here's my challenge to you men. I think that this whole issue of submission is more of a male problem than a female problem. We have to be consistent leaders within the home. If you want to change somebody, Ann Lee Stanley said you can hurt them deeply, or if you want to change somebody, you can love them profoundly. I want you men to go home today and love your wife profoundly. Love her unconditionally. Treat her like a queen. Lift her up, encourage her, bless her. Your children will see how a man should respect his wife. Your children will rise up one day and call you blessed. So Lord, today, the teachings that we've gone through are some really difficult teachings. We know that. And we know that outside of the Spirit of God living within us, we could not fulfill what Peter has taught us today and what Paul has taught us today. So today we surrender to you. We make ourselves submissive to the Spirit of God, asking that you empower us to do this, and then we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.